Good morning. Welcome to worship today. We're glad that you're here. This is the seventh Sunday that we continue to celebrate the season of Easter. We always are celebrating the resurrection on Sunday, but this is the last day of Easter that we'll celebrate. Next week begins the season of Pentecost with the day of Pentecost, and we're, as part of our celebrations of that, we'll be having confirmation. So I hope that you can join us as we have four confirmation students being confirmed next week. At this point, I want to invite Chip to come up this way. Chip and Jay Proctor and I were at the Synod Assembly, North Carolina Synod meeting in Greensboro yesterday and Friday, and Chip's going to say a couple of words about that.
We asked Jay if he wanted to say something this morning, and he didn't even show up. I guess that answers that. I want to first say that I got to visit with Pastor John and Pastor Garrett. They're both doing well. John lives in Englewood, Florida, and loves it. And those of you who know about Pastor Garrett having a head injury, two, 3 years ago? She looked great yesterday. She was there. She was cognizant. She looked like pretty much like her old self, and I was very happy to see that. We talked about a few things at the Synod meeting. I talked about Lock Congregation Vitality. One of the things we talked about was yoke parishes. We are very fortunate that we can afford a full-time pastor. There are some parishes that aren't. And I've actually got one pastor working two different parishes. One of them's down the street from each other, the other's not. There are eight or nine, I think, in the Synod. We're celebrating the 40th anniversary of the first ordination of African American woman into the Lutheran pastorship. We acknowledge that after 40 years later, there's still a big disparity of people of color and pastors who are women. And that's part of the thing I wanted to talk about, mostly on my heart. We saw a video that the Synod put together, and apparently it's used, Southwest Airlines uses it as part of their training film for gender sensitivity. And it's been translated into two or three different languages, including Chinese. But the thing that bothered me was that was even necessary. They did it cleverly to get our attention and keep it, but they had some of the female pastors tell things that just weren't appropriate. And then they had some of the male pastors read it on screen, which sounded really silly coming from a male. But some of the things were just plain unbelievable. I'm 74 years old, so I'm kind of the old school that female pastors are new, but I still don't have a problem with it. But one gal said that one of the female pastors said she'd lost 15 pounds. One of the parishioners came over and pat her on the butt and said, "You're looking good." I can't believe that that happened. The other one that really bothered me, I'm sorry. What was another bad one?
There was a long list of inappropriate things that you wouldn't say to anybody, let alone your pastor. But because these pastors happen to be women, for some reason people thought that that was okay to say when clearly it was not.
And so Pastor Matt and I and Jay talked about this on the way back yesterday. And I said, why is that even necessary? Why is that training even necessary? But he was giving me an example of a new female pastor in the Triad area here who was paid. Now, just to give you a background, when we hired Pastor Matt straight out of seminary, we paid him right at the Synod guidelines. We don't know any better, and that's what the Synod said. Pastor over in Triad area got paid $8,000 less per year. And a couple years later, they confessed, "It's because you're a woman and you're young. We think you'd take it." That bothers me.
So this video that Chip's talking about has had over a million views that the North Carolina Synod put together. It's called Seriously. So if you're interested in it, you can Google North Carolina Synod Seriously and see more about that.
Yeah, please watch it. It's disturbing. Mm-hmm. And let's see, we voted for new deans. We voted for, they're changing the number of deans to bring it back in line with the 10% that started out years ago. In the last 10 years, was it our synod has lost 41 parishes. We talked about parishes that are closing up. We also changed the, if I got this right now, we changed the synod meetings, conferences will be every other year now instead of every year. Mm-hmm. And so every odd year we'll have a new convention, a business meeting. The years in between we'll have continuing education at Lenoir Rhine, which in a way sounds maybe better because it'll get more people get a chance to go get some education instead of just a business meeting. Anything else I missed?
I think that was the majority of the business. Some constitutional changes around deans, which probably you all aren't so worried about how the conference deans happen, but they're going to be appointed now, you mentioned. If you're interested in this video, it's called Seriously Women in Ministry, is what it's called. That would be a good way to see it. Yeah, I think you've hit the high points, Chip. So thank you to Chip and to Jay for being there with us and being there as your voting member from Holly Grove. We appreciate it. And there will be opportunity for some of you all to attend that meeting of the Synod, both next year at Lenoir Rhine, when there'll be an event that I don't have all the details on yet, but that will be about how we live out our Christian life together in some form or another. So it'll be relevant not just to pastors. But then, you know, the next year we may ask you, hey, you want to go to wherever the Synod Assembly is going to be in 2 years and be a voting member with us. So thanks. Lots of announcements on here. We've got a 3 o'clock meeting today with some folks to talk about spiritual growth and how we might jumpstart spiritual growth in this community of Holly Grove. So if that's something you're interested in, speak with me or come meet with us at 3 o'clock today. We have had some issue with the organ, so we're going to play organ today, and it probably will not sound like it normally sounds because like a third of the organ is going to play, which will sound a little different, but we're working on that. We've got parts that came in already, and it's an issue of getting the folks here again to fix it. Someone else asked me to announce something, I thought. Maybe not. Read your bulletin. We do have a couple of additions to the prayer list that came through. Many of you know that Sue Anderson passed away not long ago. Her son, Bill, has been really good to come out up from Wilmington and look in on Sue and on Walt for a long time, and was up looking in on Walt this week and was having trouble, and they had to go to the emergency room for Bill. And Bill has a collapsed lung and is now in Winston. Is that right? He's at Baptist. So keep Bill Lynn in your prayers. And then Monica, it's Dan Parks. Okay. So Dan is a longtime umpire out here with Donnie at the ball field and has a really serious cancer. So keep him in your prayers. We'll add both of those folks to our prayers today. Other announcements this morning. We're going to talk about a few prayer shawls.
And these prayer shawls are for Bill Lynn and Dan Park, so if you'll bless those. And then these are for Abby and Caroline, so y'all bless those, and then we'll present them at the end of the service.
Her, okay, is retiring from the Coast Guard. So, wow, that's a longevity of ministry that this congregation helped train him in some ways. Thank you. Chip. Yeah, and some even higher than 60 years of service, but who, not all of whom could be there. But yeah, it's amazing some of the longevity of the ministry to the gospel of some of those pastors. Humbling. We wish happy birthday to Matthew, Carrie, Cliff, Angie, Tracy, McKenna, Mason, and Todd, and Bill this week. And happy anniversary to Bobby and Jana. Are there other folks we should add to the list? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Update on the lemonade stand. Gracie and Gavin, on the lemonade stand, they had to go toward the backpack program. The final number on that was $1,304.95. So, that will be the total that goes toward the backpack program. We appreciate everybody that donated toward that program. It was a great thing, so.
Stand as we begin on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
continue on page 138 in the front of your book. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. O God, form the minds of your faithful people into your one will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that amid all the changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joy is found. Your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated, and I think we're going to hear from the children this morning.
Okay, well, a couple weeks ago, we talked about Jesus having a new commandment. We already know God gave us how many commandments?
Ten.
So Jesus gave us a new commandment. What was the new commandment? And I bet you know what verse that is. What verse?
John 13:34.
And you're going to see why they know that verse here in a minute. So we're supposed to love one another. And so one thing that the Silly Youth Group did is we went to visit the shut-ins. And you guys don't even know this yet, but we got lots of thank yous. So I want to share those this morning, because when we love one another, it is appreciated. And especially when we love some people that maybe don't get to get out very much and get that love. So here's what they wrote to you. Silly for Christ, thank you for the recent visit to my house. Your singing was just beautiful, as was the plant you brought. I have enjoyed it so much, as I told you all when you were here. Holly Grove Lutheran Church is in good hands in the years to come. Love and peace, Burnett Monteith. Do you guys remember visiting her across from Gracie and Gavin's house? All right, here's the next one. You made our day on Sunday afternoon with your group. Everyone was so nice, and they really do sing well. So you guys are good singers. Three cars of parents and young people. We loved every minute. We sure do miss church. Pastor Matt came for a visit. He is so good. We also loved the potted flower you brought. It is one of my favorite ones. I'm enclosing a small gift for you to use as needed. Thank you all to the parents and children. They did a really good job. Thank you, and come again, Bill and Betty. Remember going to Bill and Betty's? And they gave us a donation that we're going to put into our account. And then we went and saw Miss Lydia. See if I can see her face. And Miss Lydia said, you guys need to sing at church. And so I signed us up. So Miss Lydia, this is for you. We're going to sing you a song. And then at offering, we're going to do the bells, because that's what we do when we visit the shut-ins. And then I'm not going to give it to you right this minute, because I don't want you to lose it. But after we do the bells, Miss Lydia has a dollar for each one of you to go and spend. So what do we need to tell Miss Lydia? So we're going to stand up now, and we're going to sing about this new commandment that Jesus asked us to do. Thank you, guys. You may go to children's church if you wish.
The first reading today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 16. One day as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaimed to you a way of salvation. She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, Do not harm yourself, for we all are here. The jailer called for lights, and rushed in. He fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They answered, Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. The word of the Lord. The Psalms for today will be Psalms 97. The Lord is King, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlands be glad, clouds and thick darkness are all around you. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his adversaries on every side.
His light means the light of the world, the earth sees and trembles.
The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth.
The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples behold his glory.
All the worshippers of images are put to shame. Those who make their boast in worthless idols, all gods bow down before him. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods.
The Lord loves those who make evil. He guards the lives of the faithful. He rescues them from the hand of the wicked.
Light dawns for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart.
Rejoice.
Second reading comes from the 22nd book of Revelation. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who said, my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. and let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, to the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Gathered together with his disciples, Jesus continues his prayer. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Marcus, our son. Hey, bud, talking about you. Head whipped around. He can't hear enough stories right now, and this has been going on for several months. It's as exhausting as it is precious. Just to give you an idea how insatiable he is, last week on a couple of drives, he conned my dad into 2 45-minute story sessions in one day. Every single time we get in the car, it's, Daddy, would you please tell me a story? Precious, I know. Polite, too, at least until I refuse to tell a story, or worse, I tell a story, but I tell it wrong. And believe me, there are apparently a lot of ways to tell a story that are wrong and result in a whiny protest. No, that's not how it goes. Now, I could make a pretty what I consider at least to be a pretty persuasive argument as for why, as the one making up and telling the story, I actually am the authority on how it goes. But those arguments, of course, don't really do anything but fuel a brewing tantrum. So to avoid the drama, I usually just give in, which means that every single story starts like this. How does it start, Marcus? Once upon a time, there was a little boy. And at this point, I have to pause so that he can fill in the name. Askrat is the most popular choice right now, but there are a lot of other made-up names in the rotation too. And from here, there is some leeway for a little while, but I can't end a story unless the little boy goes to daycare and plays outside. So I've told a lot of stories about little boys that eventually go to daycare and play outside. Which makes sense for our almost 3-year-old who likes to play outside at daycare. Because the stories we want to hear are the ones we can connect to. I'm that way. It's probably why there's a book in my office that I have 3 copies of. No one needs 3 copies, but I have 3 copies of Life Sketches of Lutheran Ministers, North Carolina and Tennessee Synod, 1773 to 1965. And the reason I have 3 of those is that my great-grandfather's picture and a list of the churches he served, at least up into 1965, is in there. So I've held on to these. I've moved copies of this book because that's my story that's in there. That's part of the story of where I come from. Family histories, extensive genealogies, even the recent craze around genetic testing that can tell you where your genetic ancestors came from, I think they're all compelling because in learning about where we come from, we learn about who we are, right? It's our story being told. This morning, we are reminded that the word we hear in Scripture is not some lifeless history of ancient places and events. We're reminded that this is our story. In John 17, we're in the long, long farewell speech that Jesus gives to his disciples, right after they've just shared their last meal together, but before his crucifixion. And as Jesus offers prayers, he does a little bit of praying for himself. Totally makes sense, given what he knows is coming. But really, quickly, he transitions, and the focus of his prayer is on praying for the disciples who are there with him. Finally, in our gospel today, Jesus does something really interesting. He turns his prayers not only to those disciples there in the room with him, but to all who will believe in me, Jesus says, through the word of these original disciples. In other words, Jesus is praying not just for the people there in front of him sitting in the room, but also for everyone throughout history who will come to believe in Jesus' name. And that means you. That means me. Jesus prays this prayer for you. Jesus, who knows that what is coming is not going to be pleasant for him on this last night, how does he spend his very last free moments in John's gospel? He spends them in prayer for you and all believers who have been and will ever be. It's a powerful thing to be prayed for. And what is Jesus' prayer for us, for you and me? That we would be one. We, who because of our sin have such a hard time getting along with each other. Does this start to sound like our story? Certainly, if you follow the national political conversation and the division there, or church history, or for that matter, even the sad reality of church divisions in our lifetime, if you know about any of that, then you know that sin is at work to divide us. So Jesus' prayer for us seems so relevant that we would be one. Which isn't to say that we have to agree on everything, nor does it suggest that we won't ever fight about what we disagree about. But at the end of the day, what in the world could be stronger than the bond of Jesus that holds us together in unity? This is our story. Jesus, crucified and risen, reconciling us to God and also to one another. The word of God revealed in Scripture is not something far off. It's our story. In Acts, we heard about Paul and Silas. And I know Andy read this a moment ago. Those multiple miracles in there can sort of make it hard to put ourselves in that story sometimes. But listen to the Acts story told this way. Some Christians go out into a society that did not live in the light of the good news. I think we can relate to that, right? These Christians began to work for healing, and they were met with resistance, specifically the resistance of those who were more interested in money than the gospel. And as this conflict progressed, it turned out that doing the work of the gospel made their lives harder. Doing God's work got the believers into trouble. I gotta say, some of that starts to sound close to home. like it could be our story. And God did intercede with a miracle for Paul and Silas. But you know what changed the hearts of the people who became believers in this story? It wasn't the miracle of the exorcism. It wasn't the miraculous opening of the jail and the loosing of the chains. I think the Spirit must have long been at work, but the only thing in the whole episode that's narrated that seems to change people is the unusual behavior of the believers. The jailer doesn't convert because the doors of the jail were flung open. He does it because of the strange actions of those believers there in the prison, who are so confident in the salvation of their God that they stay right there in the cell, even though the door is open. His heart is changed because their behavior, these believers, their behavior looks different than the behavior of the non-believers. And so the jailer comes to faith. Paul and Silas are able to act with that confidence, able to look different than the non-believers around them, because they are rooted in their story, Jesus crucified and risen. And this is our story. In Jesus, God cares enough for you to pray for you, even as his own death approached. Our story is Jesus, who by dying and rising reconciles us to God and to each other. Jesus, who calls us to act differently than the world acts for the sake of God's kingdom. Jesus, who promises forgiveness of sins and eternal life. This is our story. Jesus, who invites everyone who is thirsty to come and take the water of life as a gift. Jesus, who is coming soon to turn this world upside down for the sake of righting the many, many things that are wrong. This is our story. And the world, and that includes us, I think, needs to hear it over and over again. So let's be the people who tell our story, the story of Jesus, over and over again, but not just in words. What if we witness to this story by our action? What if, confident in the salvation of Jesus, we behave differently from the rest of the world, act differently for the sake of the kingdom? If we do, people will notice. Where do we begin? Well, Jesus seems to think it's pretty important that we recognize and work for unity. Even though he must have known we wouldn't always like each other, the prayer of Jesus is that we would be one. So let's start there. For the sake of Jesus, let's be one. People will notice. Amen.